Hello there. This episode is sponsored by all of you. Thank you for listening. If you want to support the channel, please like, subscribe, tell your friends about it, or if you feel so inclined, visit PadawanUnlimited.com and purchase some singles and or booster packs that are there. Without further ado, here's the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Padawan Unlimited podcast, a Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast. Today, I am excited to be joined by Rob and Corey. How you guys doing?
Ahoy. We're back again.
Hello everywhere. There.
Hello there.
I'm excited definitely. For this week because we got some stuff to give out. So I'm very excited.
Oh my God.
Exciting.
Yeah, 100%. Stuff to give out, and we'll do that, and we'll do that shortly, and also a lot of Swoo news that came out today as well that I think is actually really good for the game and the community. Yeah. And then we're going to talk about our main topic, which for the podcast today is just your Swoo identity. What does that mean? Like, are you a collector? Are you a competitor? Like, or are you a mixture of everything? Like, you're trying to do all the above like me and, you know, draining all your energy in life. So, but before we begin, I want to do some logistics. So obviously, if you're listening, thank you so much for your support. You know, this podcast has grown a lot since it first incepted. I mean, even just from me to having some co-hosts as well as just a bunch of listeners, I'm very thankful, especially to everyone around the globe. I mean, we have listeners literally all over the place. So I appreciate you so much. And to show my appreciation, some of the things I want to do like now is do this raffle. So we have over 24 entries or so. People have responded in the comment section on the last video. And then I even got some emails. Pretty happy from that. So it's real. gil@padawanlimited.com is a real email address, and I have this random generator. The first card, so just to be clear, every entry gives you a chance to win one of these cards. I didn't really explain all the rules, but I want to be more like broad with how many cards I'm giving out the cards I'm giving out to more people. So each drawing is you're gonna get a card, and then I'm gonna cut that name off the list, and then the remaining pool will get access to the next cards. And I'm going to give three out. I'm going to DM all of you who won. If I can give you your address so I can ship them out, and I will do my best to make sure they're shipped out well. Okay. So for the first card is the General Grievous Hyperspace Legendary from set three. It is actually a really pretty card, with the hyperspace background. So that person is going to be Arden Snow.
Congrats
on the General Grievous Legendary. Congratulations. I actually know this guy. So like in real life. So I'm gonna meet him at locals. It's not rigged. It's not rigged. I have the random generator here. But Arden Snow, congratulations on this. I will get that to you.
What's the next card?
Is the aggression card.
Aggression.
Set very one cool. Legendary that may or may not rotate out in the next 2 years. But it's probably going to be really good, I think, for set
two. Lightspeed. Yeah.
Lightspeed, I think it's going to be great. So next one is Kenzie Franklin 8254. Congratulations, Mackenzie Franklin, for the aggression card. Hopefully you
get
this selection. Yeah, congrats. It's a good card. I love it. And then finally, Clone. A card that I'm using a lot, actually, in my Obi-Wan deck. So I love this card. Let's see. AJ Vakarian. Congratulations. The clone is yours. I will, again, chat you all three of you, separately to DM, and I will get these shipped out immediately, or as soon as I get your contact information. So let me just write that down. Congrats. Perfect. So as the sets kind of continue and I get more product, I think maybe we'll make this a monthly thing. I don't know. I don't know if I have enough product to last every month, but maybe every 2 months or something. Unless I get a supplier, and then I will obviously, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I do for some milestones for sure.
Milestones, actually. So I've been talking about this with other people with my wife. I want to raffle off the convention pack. But I think that's like a 500 sub like kind of deal, right? Like
yeah, I would say I was gonna go higher, but yeah,
a thousand. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Where are you at right now?
We're at like 120.
120. Yeah. I mean, 500 would be a nice push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be awesome for the guys like that started from the beginning though. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I like the idea of supporting the OGs more. So like I don't want to get to like 4,000 and then people who haven't really been on the video or have been following us get that reward. No, it's mm-hmm. everyone who's like the OGs. So okay.
That's amazing.
Cool. So next topic. News. Big news today. I will throw it out to Corey first to talk about whatever big, because there's a bunch of different topics, and then Rob, I'll flip it to you for whatever might be left. I'm sure there will be. There's a lot of stuff that came out. So, Corey.
Yeah, I mean, well, the big thing was today they had a stream, live stream today, and they talked about rotation. So, as we discussed on the podcast before, we got the little A symbol on the bottom of the jump delay speed cards, yeah. And that is signifying that there will be rotation happening. It's going to start in March of 2026. So that's set 7. We're going to start rotating in set 7. And what they said on the stream was that the first year of SWU, the first 3 sets, will be rotated out of Premier Play. You won't be able to play them legally in Premier, but Twin Suns is a different thing. So you will be able to play all of that in Twin Suns. But obviously, if we're talking about set 1, set 2, set 3, that includes bases and leaders, I would imagine. So
yeah. No more ECL in a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So We got this year. We're gonna have. It seems like we're gonna have like a maximum of 6 sets, at the most, in rotation.
Yeah, it's gonna be huge. I think that's good. I mean, you need it. And
for sure.
And they mentioned that there's potentially gonna be an eternal format anyway. So like,
sure. You have to. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be like magic. Once they get deep enough into the game, they'll start rotating out sets, and that'll be like the current, you know, whatever Premier is going to be whatever the current sets are, and then there will always be, like you said, like Eternal or Legacy play. Although mm-hmm. I got to imagine at some point they're going to do like a kind of like how Magic does the core sets every couple of years. It's probably my gut says they're going to do like core sets where they'll have, you know, they're probably going to have Vader, Luke, mm-hmm. you know, all the stuff that like we've come to expect to see, you know, kind of regularly, right? In that set, I wouldn't be shocked if you see like Sabine, Palpatine, you know, some of it's the Han one start to show, unless they want to rotate them out, you know, they probably don't want to.
They kind of hinted that. Every couple of sets, there's probably gonna be another Luke or Vader or something anyway, right? So even if you lose set, one like Luke, you're gonna get another one probably in like set 6 or something, so that the rotation has like iconic characters.
Oh, so the definitely force, interesting you're one there,
because like we've mentioned before, we haven't had another Luke unit or Vader unit for this whole time, and meanwhile we're getting multiple units of Sabine and multiple units of like Dooku and things like that. So there's definitely. It's interesting that they're keeping those two characters like closer to the rest there and not letting those dilute those characters' unit cards. And
yeah,
but they did say that anything that gets reprinted will be playable, obviously. Like if you know, there's something that's reprinted, they mentioned what card was it, like Prepare for Takeoff, I think that's getting reprinted for Jump to Light Speed. So that would stay, obviously, if it's in the new sets. Anything that's reprinted will get to stay. They also mentioned potentially bringing cards back with alternate art. And so you're definitely not going to see these cards just be retired forever. Yeah. I think they're going to be cards that will come back at some point in some form. But yes, in general, you have to rotate out. And that's great for the game, but like you said, because if you're rotating cards out or sets out, that means the game is surviving long enough to do that, right?
So, yeah, that's the hope and the truth. How about you, Rob? Yeah. Any reaction to the news today?
I agree. I think it's a good thing. I mean, just in general, having to keep more than 6 sets worth of cards in your head at any given point in time is going to be, you know, more than that is going to be challenging. Yeah. So I do think that it is it's good. It's healthy. And like you said, it means that the scene is still there, you know, competitively. I know we saw it at Hex & Co this past weekend, you know, a full house for that one. It was a lot of the people that we see traveling around to tournaments in the local area, but you know, the scene is healthy. And again, anticipating that the game is going to go on that long and the league sets to rotate out, that's always a positive sign.
Yeah, agreed. I think this is going to be good overall and healthy to have set rotation. Keeps it spicy. And then and we're going to talk about like your identity, but also like for anyone who's new, like you don't have to go back to the set one and try to get some good cards.
Look at
right?
Magic, right? It's like you can never keep up with that. So,
yeah. Hey, look, I played Magic back in the day, but even then I was still like, you know, 3 or 4 years behind when I started. I started like 96. And like it had been out for 4 years prior to that, you know. Yep. So like, I'm also dating myself there, Jesus. But
so speaking of cards, not old ones, but new ones. There's been a lot of spoilers within the last week. I mean, it's just this is the rotation. This is what happens. Mm-hmm. We're in that spoiler season. Have you guys been looking at the card sets are coming out?
I mean, I can't stop myself.
Yeah, I can't help myself either. So I'm going to talk about one card. Maybe we'll all choose one card instead of doing a billion reviews. I'll go first because I have something in my head that I really want to talk about. Not because it's necessarily, I think, the best card out there, but it's because I love the character.
All right.
I like their lightsabers. And
it's it sounds like it might be an Ahsoka.
It's an Ahsoka Tano, another one. Nice. I am in love with this card because it looks good. I can't wait to see it in like hyperspace without the borders. But it's a 4-cost cunning heroism. For the Han deck specifically, it's even when played. An opponent discards a card from hand destruction, or not even Han, but like, yeah, it could be Han, but maybe like Quinlan Red or whatever, you know, Red.
Quinlan loves the hell out of that one.
Yeah, and if it's a unit, you'd get to just exhaust another unit. What? Like, that is so good, and it's rare.
Yeah, so Han hate is strong than yellow, man. It's so crazy.
It's accessible to like everybody. You can get this rare like whenever, right? Which, by the way, side note, they also changed the statistics for the rares and legendaries in the commons too. Yeah, and for the packs, they're gonna add more legendaries per like better ratio. So it's 1 in 5 instead of 1 in 8, and then you have less chance for some rares, which is crazy.
I think they added 4 more legendaries in this set than they did. The past 3 sets
legendaries in this
one. Oh my god, yeah. So good legendary. So that's my deck. That's the card I wanted to talk about, and it's Force. What, like, you can anyway. So Rob, how about you, man? And any particular cards in the last week that you're like really ecstatic or happy
about? I mean there's two that I'm staring at, I think the one that's probably going to be more impactful is what the heck is it called? The super laser barrage or whatever the heck.
Super laser salvo.
Yeah. Which is, it's a 7-cost green, and you just pick a space unit and then pick an arena, and that unit just deals damage to everything in that arena. So it's like an even better overwhelming barrage, and it's neutral on top of it too. So like, and now it does cost more, but it is way impactful.
A friendly space unit deals damage equal to its power to each enemy unit in that arena. That is just for 7, and it's like agnostic of heroism or villainy. That is just.
Turbo Laser Salvo is just going to be a staple in Piet.
Like, oh, Piet's the one. That's immediately think of Piet, I think.
But
like, cheat out those big ships, right?
Yeah. But like any green is going to be like, you know, any green deck is more or less gonna want this. It's, you know, like I said, it's a better overwhelming barrage. And it's agnostic. Or I don't know if it's a better overwhelming barrage, but it's an overwhelming barrage-esque card that is agnostic.
Yeah, right. For only 2.
Hero gets it. I mean, it's like paying overwhelm barrage set for 7 doesn't feel as good, but this on 7 is fine, right?
Yeah.
This is very strong.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, we've already got some very strong removal cards already based around capital ships and things like that. And we, like I said, we thought Planetary Bombardment was good. This kind of, you know, is even, I think, is even stronger. Planetary Environment's great in like a Django deck or any type of like red, I think red yellow villainy aggression, because you just want to have that option to just take out one or two of those things that you need to get out of the way. This is just a, you know, a green board wipe in probably most cases.
Yeah, for sure. How about you, Corey?
Well, let's talk about rare base.
Okay, that was my other one.
Yeah, so like the red rare base, what was it called? Let me.
Thermal oscillator.
Thermal oscillator. 27 health. So we're going down a little bit, not too far, but red base, like, makes your deck smaller. Now, that sounds like, initially, it sounds not good, right? Because, like, well, minimum, you don't, like, I see a lot of decks that are going above 50. This is saying your deck can be 45 if you want. So that's what red wants. Red wants to get you the cards that you need at the time. You don't want to get decked out. If you're getting decked out in red, you're losing anyway. Going down to 45 and making sure you have those higher chances of hitting the cards you need and winning before turn 5, turn 6, like, that seems, it could be very good. I see a lot of good red cards coming here.
I wonder how the hypergeometric like calculations work when you have 5 less. Like, your chances of mulliganing for what you need is like
95%. what was it? I actually was watching, or I was actually reading on the McClunky and Numbers Guys already ran it. It's about a 2-3% increase for drawing what you're looking for in the first in your first hand, or and then mulliganing. Like, you just have a about a 2-3% chance better of getting what you're drawing for.
Sure, and first thing, that's great, but even beyond that, right? The percentage only goes up.
Yeah. Well, correct. Yeah. We're just talking initial hand, like needing that, you know, one of three that you have in there. So it's a 2-3% increase, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're running, you know, statistics, like that's pretty significant.
Significant. Yeah.
Especially like, it's already like, it's yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, there's going to be like, so far the red cards have been pretty interesting, and I think they're only going to get better.
Yeah, they just keep they like this, you know, and they've said that, and I think, Corey, you've said this in the past, that they've mentioned that the first of the three in the cycle is usually going to be the more powerful of the three sets, and it's definitely playing itself out. I mean, like, all the, you know, there have been, like, in the last two sets, not to say that they were bad, but there were definitely some clunker legendaries in there. And
there's so many clunky legendaries.
Yeah, I know. but like this one, like I'm looking at it, it's like everyone seems like money right now.
Yeah, there's rare cards that seem like, ooh, these are better than some legendaries we've had. So
yeah, I agree. And I'm not even. I promise only one card to talk about, but the. But I'm going to break that promise. I'm talking about one more card.
Go for it.
Profundity.
Oh,
as
yes.
As a
That's the other one I was thinking about. Mm-hmm.
Finally, a capital ship that can take out an Avenger.
Yep. Right? Yeah, but that's the 8-9 heroic. Yeah.
And when played, you get to choose a player. They discard a card from the hand. Then if they have more cards.
If they still have more cards than you,
discard another card from their hand.
What? And it's when it's on destroy as well, right? It's like played in destroyed.
Yeah, that's so good. Anyway,
it eats some blue decks. That's for sure.
I mean, that's why the blue need that 35 point base.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Don't want to go too much in the deck, the card stuff. Maybe we should do more like. I don't know if we'll do like other videos, that maybe not podcast videos, but like 10-minute like card review card review videos or something. That'd be kind of
card fun. Of the day stuff.
Card of the day stuff if we have time. I know we all have day jobs, right? Anyway, so the main topic I want to talk about, I know it's kind of a hard pivot, is your Star Wars Unlimited identity. And I think this is an important topic because I don't know if anyone really talks about it. You know, like in those specific terms. I mean, I think we think that we're like, oh, I want to be a competitor. I want to win the Galactic Championships. I'm just a collector. I'm a casual. I mean, we've kind of branded ourselves as the casual tryhards. So I think they were in this middle ground of it all, and I know that we all buy packs, which, by the way, I bought a Carbonite box the other day.
Oh, you found one.
Thanks, Corey,
I've been looking for you.
I appreciate it. So I will be opening a box with you guys. But anyway, so I don't know. I think this is a topic we should, you know, that will help, especially new people as they try to figure out what they want to do with this game, because there's a lot going on, and you could just buy the packs, which is great, or you can try to be more competitive or just collect. I don't know. So I guess we started with Corey the last section of the pod. So how about you, Rob? What do you think about, like, well, you know what? What do you think your identity is as a Star Wars Unlimited player?
Podcast celebrity. No, in honesty, I know you kind of hit on this a little bit earlier, but I think it's definitely casual try hard for me. Like I play competitively. I like playing competitive games, but I don't have enough time to like commit to playing like a true, like, you know, I like winning a PQ or even just winning a PQ is kind of on the outskirts for me. You know, I was happy that I placed in like roughly the top third at Hex & Co. So, you know, I enjoy playing competitively, but I am never going to be a top 10 competitor, and I'm okay with that. I like playing the game, and I like playing, you know, I like playing against good opponents. I like playing against strong decks. I like playing against the meta. I like thinking about the meta. I just don't play enough to be a factor in those, you know, everyday things. Also, Sith Lord.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
How about you, Corey? What about you? What do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm much more of the collector. I'd call myself the collector of our group here. I love collecting cards, and just like not just SWU, but being a card collector in general. I like doing that, and then playing the game. Obviously, want to be competitive. Not necessarily the most competitive. I know I'm not as skilled at the game as some of these, you know, PQ winners / top 8 guys. I feel like I could potentially get into top 30. I think that's, you know, feasible for sure. Yeah. I know there's some players that I've played locally. Like, we have a very competitive local scene here, a lot of good players, and I definitely can, you know, hold my own against them. I wouldn't say I'm most consistent. That's where I fall back on in the competitive side, is my consistency is probably not as high as where I would need to be able to be in those top 8s in the PQs. But I still have fun with it. I just love the competition of the game. Like Rob was saying, just thinking about how every card works, the different lines and things like that. But I am not super competitive as far as placement goes. But
yeah,
internally I am super competitive for myself. It's just I know that's not where I'm gonna land in the end, but as far as like the game itself, collecting is probably where I like it a lot. I mean, I went pretty heavy on the Carbonite boxes.
Oh my god. I had to stop myself, and only after getting a lot of FOMO did I finally break, because I was at Hex. We, you know, KTOD was there, so I got to meet some of those guys. I finally got to meet Stevie Getz, like, in person. I mean, we've done coaching and stuff in the past, which is really cool. So I've had, like, video calls with him, but, like, I actually got to, like, you know, give him a high five and stuff, which is pretty cool. And Tata or John, like, I actually got to meet him and stuff. And they were, like, a bunch of those guys. And we were talking about, like, Carbonite packs or boxes. And, like, oh, some of them were, like, I bought a lot. So I got really jealous, because, like, oh, man, everyone's buying these boxes. Now I want one. That's cool. Rob, you don't consider yourself a collector at all?
Not really. I mean, I do have full play sets of like most of the cards, but like I'm not trying to like track them all down. I do like cracking packs like that. I'm not gonna lie, but you know, generally speaking, you know, I don't need to have every card. I don't need to have every hyperspace. I don't need to have every foil. You know, like I'm not going to try and collect the master set. That's not really in my thing. I like having the play sets to be able to create
you know, the deck. Deck. Right.
Yeah, exactly. But in terms of like, so that part of it, like, yes, I'm a collector in that sense of it, in that I like to make decks. So I like to have the cards to make the decks, but I'm not trying to complete sets necessarily. Yeah.
But you're also the kind of guy that like has really good luck with cards, and so at the end
not
of the day,
necessarily needing to buy as much as some of us other guys.
Yeah, my R&D has cooled off considerably in the last two sets. The first set, yeah, I was pulling legendaries left and right, but my R&D has cooled off considerably.
That's funny. I mean, actually, I would say that RNG is probably still good. It's just been spread because around us, even if you're not getting it, around us, a lot of people are getting legendaries and or showcases.
But like, aura of plus one showcase, right?
The aura plus one showcase aura, like the buff to the group. That's so funny. I still don't know what my identity is in this game. Truly, I am still trying to figure it out. I'm like a jack of all trades kind of a person.
You're the SWU ambassador.
Maybe, but I mean, like, I started the channel and stuff and do the podcast, so I want to entertain. I'm trying to collect the first master set of all the first three sets, and then that's the first year.
You're the best of everything.
Nah, yeah. I don't know about the best. I got that Padawan Limited shop, which thank you for everyone who's made some purchases. It really helps me out.
Where can they find that?
PadawanUnlimited.com.
Easy enough.
That's all. That's all it is. I'm always updating.
Sorry with the alley-oop for the plug.
I know. I'm actually gonna do written content in there. So this is another thing: nice. Content creation. I'm gonna do written content, I think. So not just here, but like playbooks, for example, or like lines, or just random thoughts about certain things. Like, you know, I play a lot of off-meta decks, and I want to try to win with those. And I think it's important to have at least not just video, but also written commentary. So maybe there's going to be, so like, I know KTOD, for example, they have their PQ like live document for this season. I want to have some type of arc. I'm probably gonna have some type of archive for
this is how I see you, Gil. I think, you know, you have KTOD, which is super competitive, high level. Let's talk meta. Let's talk lines. Let's talk decks and how we're going to win with these or counter them. When I see your podcast, our podcast, I dare to say, I think that we for you is you're that the voice of the guy that's not there yet. He's on the cusp of being a KTOD competitive player, but not quite there. He needs that next step, and you're there to help bring that guy to that next level. I think that's what
I'm the D3 coach as you're trying to get to D1. You know what I mean? Like, oh my god. Which is, it's funny. No, for sure. I appreciate that. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of, as people are trying to figure out the game, I mean, they're also trying to probably figure out themselves, right? What are you trying to do with here? Are you trying to just collect? Are you trying to play a lot? Are you trying to make friends? Are you trying to entertain? I think it's important to kind of reflect on that, because I feel like you don't want to come away from the game like disgruntled about something, like, oh, I spent like thousands of dollars on this game and it just, all the prices went down, right? But like, if that's your identity as a collector, I can get that. But like, sometimes it's not, if you don't care about that, then great. And you're just a competitor and you just want to place with whether cards in your hand, like, then you don't have to think about that. So I think it helps frame your mindset for how you can approach the game, and you can just be happy doing it. I think that's why I want to talk about it today.
Yeah. That's great. I think ultimately, as long as you're having fun, getting that enjoyment from the game, regardless of how that may be, I think that's ultimately the most important thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, we see this with the board game group that Corey and I run. You know, if your only goal is to win a game, then turns out in a very competitive game or a very competitive scene, you're probably going to be disappointed a lot, and you may not enjoy it as much. So there has to be something else that sustains you. You know, I play games to play the games, win, lose, or draw. Do I want to win? Sure. But do I need to win? No. And that's not going to be for everyone. You know, some people have that competitive drive, but I think it's, you know, at the end of the day, if you have something that kind of, drives you beyond just I need to win every game that I play, then you'll take a lot more enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, that's wise words. towards the end of the podcast. I appreciate that, Rob. All right, so we have a couple minutes left. It's again late on a Wednesday, actually, we're recording, so this should be more fresh news. Any final thoughts before I let you guys go for the evening?
Final thoughts? I don't know. I'm still, like I said, I'm still waiting to see that legendary Thrawn card.
Yeah. Thrawn, you knew, eh?
Yeah, I'm telling you, they gotta drop him. They gotta, and like Hera, right? You know, like we're gonna see the two of them.
Possibly. I what I'll say is
they're on the box, Corey. They're yes. gonna be there.
It's gonna be some
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I'm going a little different direction with my final thoughts, and just I wanted to congratulate you guys for competing in the PQ at Hex & Co. and Rob going over 500, which is great. And yes. like you mentioned, it's not like about, like, I saw a lot of people drop, right? A lot of people drop.
Oh, yeah. PQ. Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you're paying this money and going to an event to play with the most competitive people. Why are you dropping? This is the best chance to get experience. And so for me, it seems like I want to go and play, like you mentioned earlier. Yeah. Like, play the game, right? And Gil, you went with an off-meta deck and you were right there in the middle. And so that's pretty cool. Impressive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was good. Yeah, congrats to you, Rob. Like, you did really well with the Django deck. That's pretty cool. And it was friendly fire too, right? Like you.
Oh, there was. Yeah, yeah. Well, I got Anakin blued twice in the first two rounds, so that was fun. I pulled one of those out though, so you know.
Yeah, I've been practicing against Anakin blue because we're going to the PQ in
Red Clifton Seal
Park.
You're going to the one this weekend.
Weekend, yeah. I'm traveling all over the place.
Dude, every weekend, this guy Gil here, you're paddling unlimited right now here. Check him out at the PQs, guys. But he's there every weekend, every PQ. I think you signed up for like six of them.
I think, right?
How's was that?
I think you did eight of them, right?
Yeah, six to eight. I don't know. I'm
lose track after a while.
I lose track after you do so many.
Gil got very, very lonely and decided to drown his sorrows in signing up for PQs.
No, my wife is very upset about that.
Because she wasn't there to stop you, that's why.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, so I'm doing the PQ this weekend at Clifton Park. So I've been practicing against an Anakin Blue. And I think my last final thoughts is, no matter what you do, go in with a positive mindset and don't give up, right? I think the sense of defeat, like, don't have a when defeated unit. Don't let your when defeated be sadness. Like, your when defeated aspect should be like, you know, go get a beer, which is exactly what I did at Hex. At Hex, I mean, I don't always partake in alcohol, but when I lost to some dude, I bought him a beer. I was like, let's just drink and see what happens.
Celebratory, right? Yeah. It's not like, don't think of it as like, oh, I'm drowning in my drowning, drinking my sorrows away. It's more like celebratory. Let's go.
And we chatted. I ended up talking to Ian, who ended up winning the tournament as well. So like, that was kind of cool. And then even when I also won, I also bought a different guy a beer too. So like, you know, your when defeated should be positive, whatever that might be. Yeah, buy a beer, buy a hot dog, whatever that might be. Buy a bag of chips. Be a good person and the universe will reward you. The force will always be with you. And with that, until next time, talk to you all later.